Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
So stand by for some pit stop action. Before we get into that and go to share, here's Jeremy Shaw in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Under 10 hours to go.
Yeah, so less than Petit Le Mans to go. And the number 31 car they're running in, that second position still, as you say, John, expect your pit stop for that car within the next lap or two. And right behind him, both of the Mazdas now. Yeah, Olivier Plas certainly made some ground there. He's closed in on both of those two, so we've got that three-car battle effectively for a second position. Ryan Briscoe's not far back behind them. Tristan Vautier neither in the next car. So it's game on very much in DPI. In LMP2, David Heinemeier Hansen actually closed the gap quite substantially there to Matt Bell. He's only a second behind him now. Remember last time I talked, which was only, two or three laps ago, he was 4 seconds back. So good job once again by the Dane. In GTD, Stein Schottel, it's his turn to have a commanding lead now. In the first part of the race, it was number 16 car, as you're explaining. He's now got a big lead, but pretty much everybody else are within probably 10 seconds of each other, or maybe 15, all the way down the field. Ryan Hardwick is having a pretty good battle in there with Cooper McNeil, Spencer Pompelli, and he's right behind Joey Hand as well. So he's in really good company, even though they're towards the tail end of the field, but they are at the back of the field. In GT, very much still contention.
Thanks, Jeremy. And GT Le Mans pit stop starting. Shea Adam has this VP Racing Field pit report.
Connor DiFilippi into the pit lane in the red BMW. This is the number 25, winner of the 6 hours at Road Atlanta earlier this year. And that would be Colton Herta taking over from Connor. So one C to another for young American drivers. Slight bit of issue with the driver change, but they managed to get the car door shut after it drops off the air jacks. And still waiting on the fuel there when in the next pit box up to the number 24 BMW. When Jesse Prohn brings that one in, it will be Augusto Farkas taking over there.
Nice and smooth, nicely done. It should be that the determining factor for the pit stop is how long the fuel is going in. Here at IMSA, you can fuel, tyre and change drivers all at the same time. And what should take the longest out of all of that, you might think changing the driver would take the longest time. These guys practice and practice and practice. If it was me getting in or out, then yes, it would take them about a week, particularly to get me out of the car, because I would be fighting them off, quite frankly. But it is the fuel that takes the longest time. And so when you see nothing happening, just check to see if the fuel hose is still on. If it is, they aren't losing time. If the fuel man has stepped back and they're still putting a tyre and a wheel on, or they are still trying to bolt somebody into the car, then it is indeed losing them time. We've just had Lexus in as well from GTD share.
That was the number 12 Lexus that came in. Michael De Casada behind the wheel. And taking over was Townsend Bell. Fuel and four new tires on that car. Also into the pit lane was Jonathan Bomarito, meaning that the 55 Mazda has now cycled through all three of its drivers, fuel and tires there. And in the 31 Whelen Engineering Cadillac, that is Gabby Chavez staying aboard. Fuel and tires for that car as well.
And that, Jeremy, pretty much spot on time for all of those guys. We're keeping an eye to make sure they're getting the mileage that we would expect from them. That was 22 laps for Chavez, 21 for Jonathan Bomarito. So, and they pitted a lap apart. So Bomarito actually might have thought he would have gone an extra lap. I'll come back to you in a second, Jeremy, as we've got more GT Le Mans runners in. And this is all significant at this stage, particularly for the driver, Shea Adam, who's just jumped aboard Corvette number 4.
That would be Oliver Gavin getting behind the wheel 9 hours and 55 minutes to go in this race. As Jeremy rightly said, less than a petite. So he's taking his first opportunity to drive the C8R around Sebring in November, in the 12 hours. I was going to say in the 12 hours, but then we'll see you out in that November part. It just messes with your brain a little bit. All normal for that pit stop down at Corvette Racing. And Augusto Farfus did take over the black BMW. Into the pit lane comes the sister Lexus. That is the number 14, and that is Kyle Kirkwood staying aboard. So no driver change for the 14, unlike the sister car where there was a driver change. Oh, and also into the pit lane, John Potter is now out. Spencer Pompelli did a stint in the 44 Magnus GRT Lamborghini, and Richard Highstand is back into the number 11 for GRT in their Lamborghini. So those are two significant driver changes. Wright Motorsports bringing Ryan Hardwick into the pits. He complained that the car was feeling a little bit loose in his trail back from first to 11th place in the GTD class. They're just waiting on fuel, and I didn't see a driver change there, but I could have missed it.
Well, all going to plan so far. Fuel hose comes out of the Wright Motorsport number 16. And just before I let you settle back, Shea, and watch what's going on, as in comes the 911 Earl Bamber, who needs an hour in that car, doesn't he? I'll cycle back and I'll tell you why I've asked that in a moment. Needs an hour in that car for drive time, doesn't he?
Yes, correct. And he has been in that car for just over an hour, so he would be okay to exit it, but he is staying aboard. They're actually tightening a clamp around one of the hoses that gives the driver a little bit more air blowing through the car, so a little bit more comfort. But Earl is staying aboard, so he is going to do a double stint in the 911 before he jumps into the 912 for the first time. So this does mean we get another opportunity for Earl versus Larry.
Yeah, and that's important to note, Shea, because he's listed in the 912 as well, which is his usual car. The massive congestion of fixtures and races means that they haven't got the choice of getting Mathieu Jaminet and one or two of the other endurance drivers over. But the 4 hours in any six that a driver can spend out on the track, that is not car specific, that's driver specific. So he couldn't do 2.5 hours in one car and do 2.5 hours in the other.
No, correct. And he will have done 2 hours in the 911, which means that he could either do a short single stint in the 912, or that Neil Gianni will need to be the next driver in the 912 again to give Earl Bamber a slightly elongated window so that he doesn't cross over that 4 hours in any sixth pressure.
Yeah, have to keep an eye on all of that. And as far, Shea, as the drive times in the AM classes are concerned?
We have 3 hours, nice and simple.
Right.
Trying to keep it playing forward for us. 3 hours for any silver or bronze driver, every silver and bronze driver in the GTD and LMP2 classes. In the pit lane, our GTD champion, Courtney Wheeler, is getting in the Grand Studio. Yes, he's the number
Just losing Shea there for a moment, but it is the GT Le Mans leader, and that will be full service, Jeremy, for that car. Driver change going on as well. Still got the hose in for the fuel. Everything else is done, just cleaning out the areas that do the cooling. And Shea, driver change there?
Yes, Jordan Taylor took over.
Excellent. We're getting into a nice
plan there.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say, we're getting into a nice rhythm now, Jeremy, just as you and I like. And I'm watching how this is starting to play out. And the tiles across one of my screens. And I still think it'd be a great idea to do those as a sort of splashback somewhere. Beginning to grow out to the right-hand side now. So this is all beginning to get into the rhythm of the race. And that's for us. That's for the teams as well, and particularly for the engineers. They're gathering data all the time. Track temperature just under 30 Celsius. Air temperature round about the same. Humidity, well, up in the 70s. Still no real wind to talk about that, but they'll be keeping an eye on everything so that if they have to make any small adjustments, like air pressure adjustments in the tyres or anything like that, they'll be well ahead of that. The problem is, you're always working a little bit behind the curve, aren't you? Because the tyres that come off, you've already had to put a set of tyres on. So if you're going to make any major adjustments, you've got to do that sort of two stops down the line.
True. You know, there's a lot of thought that has to go into these races, isn't it?
We
talk about strategy being so important, and you know, you're absolutely right there, John. It is, and you know, what you put on when, you know, sometimes you might even use a sanitizer that has been, you know, lightly used earlier on, or even during the practice sessions, or whatever it might be. And you know, there's so many different permutations that the teams and strategies have to work through.
Yeah, Ian McCarthy tweeting at IMSA Radio. Thank you, Ian. It's just striking how often and for how long three or four classes of car are together on the track. Sebring probably not a circuit where you want to get too adventurous with your lines. Don't disagree with you there. We call that that phenomenon clumping.
It's a technical term.
It is a technical term. Yeah. And we were talking in another programme the other day, actually. It has to be worthwhile somebody writing a thesis about that, Jeremy. Never mind these people who do traffic management for the highways, where, you know, somebody brakes a bit hard in Sheffield and somebody in Newcastle has to come to a direct stop because of the ripple effect and all of that. We want to know what the algorithm, what the mathematical progression is behind this clumping, because it doesn't matter whether we've got 3¾ miles and 30-odd cars here at Sebring, whether we've got 170 cars around the Nürburgring Nordschleife, 60 cars around 8.5 miles of Le Mans. It does seem to happen when you think about the fact that all these cars are making their lap times in different ways, and the classes are all very carefully controlled as to how they fit together. It really shouldn't happen, but it always does.
Yeah, no, it's just magnetism, John. That's what it is. The cars are naturally drawn to one another. The hope is they don't get too close to one another.
Indeed so. Over 2¼ hours then, on 2½ hours completed. Sebring looking an absolute picture. A little bit of fluffy cloud in the sky, but plenty of blue out there as Gabby Chavez goes through turn number 7 at the hairpin and goes past the Tower Racing car. Actually, that isn't the Tower Racing car at all, is it? That's the 38, the Performance Tech Motorsport number 38, my apologies, as they head up to turn 13 and head on to the part of the circuit furthest away from the pit lane. Strange to see, and thank you again, by the way, to NASCAR Productions for giving us access to pictures so we can see all the way around the circuit. Strange to see so few people on the infield from the overhead shots. A bit of argy and, if you will, bargy going down to turn 7. And that was Brian Sellers and Matt McMurray squabbling over 8th and 9th position, Jeremy, in GTD, with Ryan Briscoe coming... with Tristan Fortier coming through that battle. I think there might have been a little trading of paint there.
Yeah, it looked a little bit tight, didn't it, as it came down towards the hairpin at turn 7. Not a lot of room between those cars as well. And, the cars do move around a lot over the bumps there, so maybe we'll give them that as the explanation as to why they got a bit close, because there's certainly no point in banging doors with 9 hours and 45 minutes and 15 seconds remaining in the race.
It's Jeremy Shaw and Shea Adams, our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Reporter. All quiet in the pit and paddock at the moment. Shea, any little bits and pieces of chat or gossip that's going around from your... And we should, by the way, whilst we're saying thank you to people who help us out, all of the PR representatives and the team representatives been mega since we've gone back to racing in July. They're not always at the track. It's difficult to talk to people because of the different bubbles and where you're allowed and where not you're not allowed. So they've really helped us out with the flow of information.
Yeah, and thank you. You know who you are, the ones who keep me in the loop a little bit better than others, perhaps I'll say. Just had three pit stops from GTD in particular. We've had one, two, three, four cars that have gone from their starting driver to a second driver and now to a third driver in the GTD category. Richard Highstand is back in the number 11 for Grasser. Townsend Bell is the third driver in the number 12. And indeed, now all three drivers have been in that team, Vassar Sullivan Lexus. And John Potter is back in the Magnus Racing Lamborghini. He started the car and then Spencer did a Middleston. Misha Goikberg has also gotten back into the 57 after Joey Hand did a middle stint for Heinrich Racing in their Acura. But I'm just looking. We've just had Cooper McNeil, Gar Robinson, both come in and do their first pit stops, as well as Madison Snow getting out of the cars. That's down to 9 hours and 49 minutes to go. So they've driven for 2 hours and 10 minutes, give or take, for all three of those drivers. That's a big chunk of driving time for Gar, for Cooper, and for Madison.
Yeah. Indeed. So,
yeah, that's always going to be the plan for the GTD cars, to get the lesser, the lower rated drivers get their minimum drive time in during this race. Everybody has to do a minimum of 3 hours. The minimum drive time really isn't a factor in the pro classes. It's really just in the two pro am classes, GTD and LMP2, of course. But as I say, a minimum 3 hours that the lower rated drivers have to do. And they're always going to get that drive time in early in the race and then hand over to their pro or semi-pro drivers in each of those cars for the final portion of the race.
And that, of course, is the bit that we've got to try and keep an eye on, Jeremy, because sometimes we're comparing, as we were on that restart, in fairness, with Ryan Hardwick, we're comparing apples and tennis rackets there. And I'm not being at all disrespectful to Ryan, but that is part of the strategy. When do you put your non-pro driver in, and at what time do you have at the end of the race to be able to make that car go as close as possible to its absolute performance potential?
Yeah, absolutely right. But certainly you want your fast drivers in at the end, obviously. And that's why it was interesting. We talked about it maybe a little while ago about the strategy of who's in the car at which particular time. The winning cars are going to most likely, is the fastest of the lesser experienced or rated drivers. That's going to be a really important factor in this race.
Montoya then still out front. Another half an hour of race already completed. Near enough. Well, actually, another 20 minutes of racing. It is going very, very quickly indeed. 55 Mazda at the moment, picking the way through traffic. Jonathan Bomarito got half a minute to make up on the JDC Miller car ahead, as into the pit lane comes the number 10 Konica Minolta Cadillac, and that's 21 laps, so that's all right, Che. I'm happy with that.
Okay, well, if you're happy with it, I'll be happy with it. The last time that they came into the pit lane, they did a driver change to Ryan Briscoe, so there will be no driver change this time around, but they will give him a new drinks bottle as well as four shiny new Michelin tires and a windshield tear-off. Oh my goodness, it's Christmas for Ryan Briscoe. They're spoiling him all at once. Just waiting on the fuel and the left rear tire to be changed. New Michelin gets thrown on. Wow, that looks effortless by the mechanic who placed the Michelin carefully on the rim. And now the car comes off the air jacks, just waiting on fuel. This is a pretty good stop. Perfect. On the 30-second mark that the car had been stationary, the car begins to roll once again, which means that no time was lost when the fuel probe went in to when the car stopped, and that was a full tank.
To quote Mr. Punch, that's the way to do it. Absolutely brilliant stuff. And those tyre and wheel combinations, by the way, lifting those and throwing those around as if it was a paper plate share is not, I mean, that's not what they're like. They are very heavy indeed. Even though they are quote unquote lightweight racing wheels, that's a big chunk of alloy and a big chunk of rubber wrapped around it.
John, we've just got a full course yellow, but yeah, you're absolutely right. It's basically the equivalent of going to the grocery store, spending $200, and then lifting all of the groceries at once with one hand. debris on track at turn 17 is what I'm hearing on the race control channel.
Yes, confirmed. Thank you, Shea. Well, now, who is this going to benefit? We've got the cars at the front of the field. 17, 18, 19 laps in. Ryan Briscoe's just done his pit stop in that car. We saw that he's right up, just on the racing line. Now, is that a piece of advertising, or I'm not sure what's there. It looks fairly sturdy, Shea.
I think that's basically what happened yesterday in the first Lamborghini Super Trofeo race. One of the banners just toward the exit of 17 came loose, and it wound up in almost the exact same spot. So that's what my money would be on.
Okay. Jeremy, everybody's going to pit here, aren't they?
Yeah, except for the... I don't know whether it's going to be interesting when number 31 and 55 car pits. I think they probably will, because they'll only need a splash of fuel, and whereas everybody else will need a bit more. So they should be able to leapfrog their way to the front, except, of course, number 10. They just made their stop. Perfect timing for them. Absolutely perfect timing for them. So that car, I think it came out just ahead of the number 31 car, but he will now go just ahead. I don't know if he was able to stay ahead, but in any case, he will not need to stop now, so we'll stay out and we'll assume the lead of this race. Luckily, in GTD, no real change there. Everybody there had made their scheduled pit stops just within the last five laps or so. So no need to change anything there. Don't think we'll see any of those cars into the pits. And pretty much the same in GTLM as well. No, the only car that's kind of a little bit off sequence with everybody else, I think, was the number 912 car.
So, Shea, get ready to get very, very busy indeed. Intervention 2 is coming out of turn 17 now to pick up that piece of debris. We had been running, and nobody can blame me this time, because I never said a word. We'd been running for an hour and 7 minutes under green flag conditions. So nobody can blame me this time. It's unusual, I know. But time again, if you need to top up the cup of coffee or the cup of tea at, half midday, just half past noon in central Florida, which puts it at half past five in the UK. Shea, I think you were spot on there. That looks like a piece of a vinyl that's been picked up by the AMR Rapid Response Team.
Oh, you can put it in the boot. There's room in the back of those Cayennes, as our AMR safety official folded it up nicely and then gave it to the guy sitting in the back seat. And here, you hold on to this for a little while. But it is true, they do have a lot of medical equipment and whatnot in the trunk of those Porsche Cayennes, so it might already have been full. Okay, I'll give it to them. Oh, pits are open for prototype. Yay!
Stand
Let's see
by.
Who comes to visit.
Take a deep breath, Shea. You're going to be very busy in a moment or two. They're halfway down the Alec Ullman straight away. Just a quick reminder, you're listening to IMSA Radio RS2 around the world at the radio player, and of course on IMSA.com around the circuit in central Florida. We're on 99.1 FM. That's WWOJ. Thanks for loaning us your airwaves, guys, once again. Sirius 202 XM2 17, and if you're outside the US, in sound and vision at IMSA.tv and on radio-show.co.uk. Stand by for action, Ms. Adam. Here comes Juan Montoya, Oli Pla, Tristan Fortier, and everyone else.
Oh, joy. This is fun. All right, Montoya is going to be the first one into his box, since his box is closest toward the pit in. Fuel and tires for Juan, I would imagine, given how long he's been out there. Yes, and no driver change, as the right side door is open. If they were doing a driver change, it would be the left side door open. So fuel and tires for the race leader. Also into the pit lane, both of the Mazdas, Jonathan Bomarito and Oli Pla. Bomarito, I would expect to stay aboard. Pla might get out, and they might put Nunez in. It is Lena Gade who engineers that car and never second-guessed the Gade. Scott Andrews is in the 85, and Gabi Chavez is in the 31. Driver change for that 31 Whelen Engineering Cadillac as Felipe Nasr is running around the left side of the car and slots himself into that position very effortlessly indeed. Who else came in? Oh, Tristan Vaudier is in the pits too for the number 5 for Mustang Sampling Cadillac. And two of the LMP2 cars came in. Matt Bell, British Matt Bell, in the 51 and David Heinemeier Hansen in the 8. Let's see, what driver changes did we have? Nunez is in the 77 now. Harry Tinkle is into the 55, so driver changes for both Mazdas, and it looks like everybody else except for Nasr stayed the same.
I would have expected the 55 car to be stationary for a lot longer because they'd only been out for 10 laps or so. See above comment for Gabby Chavez in the 31 as well, or Felipe Nasr, who's taking that car out. So I'll give you a rundown once we... as we're about to come back to green, as to who got out of the pits first. Staying out, Jeremy, of the prototypes, Simon Trummer for PR1 Matheson Motorsport, the number 52 car. They'd only stopped, what, 6 or 7 laps ago, so they're going to roll the dice. And that's, I mean, that's reasonable. That's barely, not even a third of the way through their fuel burn there, are they?
No, I mean, there's 3 cars back on the lead lap in LMP2 car, 52, 51 and number 8. If they'd done another 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 laps, certainly they would have been in the pits because they're going to need less fuel than the other two contenders there. I'd have thought it might have been worth coming in any case and topping off. They're going to, because it'll be a shorter stop, they should be able to leave ahead of number 51 and number 8 car and then be able to run the same length of stint through, you know, off when we go back to green. But you know, as I say, they've only run 1, 2, 3, 4 laps under green flag conditions. So you know, that's only, you know, much less than a quarter of a stint. So they've elected to stay out there. Don't expect to see probably any GT cars in the pits unless there's any strategic driver changes. Certainly interesting to me that Brian Sellers has been out in that number 48 car lately. He's one of the few most highly rated drivers in the GTD field to have had any time in the car so far, and that's because the strategy earlier on kind of backfired, so they wanted to make their way through the field a little bit and try and get themselves into position with only an hour and a half to go before the points are awarded for the Michelin Endurance Cup. Of course, that number 48 Paul Miller Racing team only concentrating on the Endurance Series this year as a result of the change of plans caused by the pandemic. So there's their focus. They come in here with a pretty commanding lead, and really they don't need to win the class at the 4-hour mark. If they can be in the top three, that would be job done for the number 48 team.
Well, we are going to get some tickets from GTD. Highest is the GRT Grassa Racing Lamborghini. Shea Adam.
Everyone from GTLM has come into the pit lane, and I'll talk about them in a second. But yes, the Grassa Lamborghini comes in. That's number 11. That should be fuel and tires only. Fuel and tires only as well for the 48 Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini and the 74 Riley Technology Mercedes. All right, the 911 Porsche is in, and they are doing fuel and tires for Earl Bamber, staying aboard for yet another stint. Now, the 912 is having some issues out on track. They're going to do fuel and tires and then change the ECU inside the driver's compartment, the passenger's compartment of the car. They're hoping that that will cure their ails, but that car hasn't been performing as they had hoped through this stint. So they are going to lose all of their positions on everyone else who did come in at the same time, which is, unfortunately, everyone else in class for the GTLM category. But Vantor will be staying aboard there.
Yeah, but doing that now, Shea, yes, they'll lose real estate, but they certainly won't drop a lap. And what they hope to do is get that flat 6.4.2 litre engine, 4.193, I think it is. And it can't go any bigger. I've seen how close they are together, and they've got the... They've got a number of things plugged into that car at the moment. Earl Bamber sits in passively waiting for the shout to get going. Safety car is between 8 and 9 at the moment, and we're getting the final wave by. So they will be going green shortly, but they've still got time, Jeremy, to get that 912 racing. That was Larry, aboard the 912. 12, not Earl Bamber. My apologies.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised they all came in, but I'm sure once one came in, they might as well all come in. And so, yeah, most of them had only run half a dozen laps under this under green flag conditions before we went back to yellow. But you know, get some fresh tyres on, and again, you know, look toward the 4 hour mark and try and get some points for the Michelin Endurance Cup as well, because we're within the window now of making that on just one stop. Well, that's a problem for the number 11 car that was leading the category in GTD.
And that car has pulled over to extreme driver's right at the end of pit lane. Now, did they get it out of pit lane? It was somewhat recalcitrant starting, needed a bit of help, then a big burnout for the Grasser Lamborghini. This is the 11 car we're talking about. Down the pit lane, that's all good, but it's ground to a halt at the end of the pit lane. The pit lane limit is still on that car. You can tell that because the marker lights on the front pulled out of the way, Shea. Anything from the team at this point, or are they scratching their heads as much as we are?
Nothing from the team as of right now, but unfortunately for Richard Highstein, given the COVID protocols, that which used to be an exit back to the garage staging area is now completely fenced off. So the Grasser mechanics are actually having to run all the way down. They are the first pit box towards pit in. Oh. They have to run down to the extreme end of pit out, then push the car back beneath the bridge at the exit of the pit lane to then be able to make the hard right-hand turn to go back to their garage. Thankfully, their garage area is about halfway down the WeatherTech paddock, so it will be a shorter push to get the car back there. But they are going to be flat out exhausted by the time they even get to the Mobil 1 bridge, let alone by the time they get back to the garage.
MC using the full course yellow to do a bit of sweeping and blowing of the debris, the tyre debris off the track. I don't think that Richard Highstein, Jeremy, even got through the Michelin pit lane exit with the RFID readers that's there. I think he's pulled to the right of that, as Shea says, to try and get back into the paddock. Now, whether he was meant to go back in the paddock, whether they told him to do that, but you can't get there from that area now. That's been fenced off, and this is going to cost them dearly.
It is. That's really unfortunate for that number 11 team. They've done they were running out front there pretty convincingly, well, very convincingly, with both Steen Schotthorst and with Richard Highstand. So now they're going to, I think have they already gone one lap down? Yes, I think they have. So that's really, really unfortunate for that team.
I'm guessing, Shea, that in July, and indeed the other times that Richard has raced here, you would have been able to get into the paddock area at that part of pit lane.
Well, the last time he raced here was last March, and that was an open access area to the garage area from the pit lane. So you're spot on. That tells me a little bit that he maybe didn't do the track walk this year, because it's very evident when you get to that part of the pit lane, you see all the fencing, you see that everything is blocked off. And even throughout the garage area, John, there are several places where you used to be able to come and go, but with the COVID protocol, not anymore.
I think this is going to extend the safety car being out, if I'm honest, because that is on the exit of pit lane, and there will be people having to move that. In the meantime, the Acura number 7 has been in and out. Also, that's Elio Castroneves. John Ferrano in the number 8 Tower LMP2 car has been in and out. And John Potter in the 44 GTD Lamborghini, the Magnus GRT car, has been in and out. And now they have managed to get that car pushed through the gap in the wall. So have they opened that up specially, or could he just not get enough lock on then in that case? And I wonder if he's done some damage here when he was doing the burnout and maybe sheared a half shaft and the car has just ground to a halt, because he was very close to being get that car out the pit lane.
He was very close, but that was a closed off fence area. So I'm wondering if they had to move spectators out of the way and then open the fence to be able to let him go back through that area, because all weekend they've been directing all of the traffic for the WeatherTech Championship through that first opening in the pit lane. The second one has been completely blocked off.
Shea Adam, our VP, Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Report. A little pause there from me now that that has been cleared. With 9 hours and 24 minutes to go, we're about to head back for our third green flag of the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring 2020. And we are back to racing at just before 12, or just after 12:45 here in Central Florida. And Ryan Briscoe, that, all of that excitement, I forgot to give you the rundown, but it was the number 10 Cadillac from the number 6 on the restart, then the 85 Cadillac, then the Tristan Fortier 5 Mustang something, then the 77 and 55 Mazdas, and the 31 Felipe Nasr in 7th position. That was how they restarted, all line astern, of course, at the front of the field. In LMP2, it was PR152 from 51 into Europol. Kubus Makovsky behind the wheel of that car now. Then John Ferrano in the 8 Tower Motorsports car. Then the 38 of Don Yount. And it was Corvette ahead in GTLM when they restarted. I'll get to what's happening already. Ahead of the 911 Earl Bamber staying in that car. Yes, 911 Earl drafted into that Porsche. 24 BMW, 25 BMW. Ollie Gavin in the 4 Corvette. And Lawrence Vanto in the 912. T-Bell for Ian Vassar-Sullivan. The 2 Lexus first and second, 12 and 14. From Darren Turner in the heart of racing, Aston Martin 23. From McMurray, this is GTD of course, Matt McMurray and the MSR Acura number 86, Westfall and the 63 Scuderia Corsa, and Rob Ferriol in the hardpoint Audi, still right up there. That's how they restarted. And behind the wall then, the GRT Grasser Lamborghini number 11 with a problem leaving its pit box. Ryan Briscoe has pulled out a handy second or so at the front of the field, and the two Mazdas getting rather too close for comfort. Jeremy going down to the hairpin last time around with the with tyres on the grass from the 77 Tristan Nunes car sitting in behind the dark red number 55. I think they might be on the phone to those and saying, come on guys, let's be a little more sensible.
Yeah, that was a bit hairy, wasn't it? Of course, Felipe Nasr had a grandstand view of that. But, yeah, they have changed places. Number 55 car, Harry Kipper, then ahead of Tristan Nunes. Also changed their number 5 car. Tristan Vautier has just gone ahead of Scott Andrews at that restart spot. That's for third position. Number 5 ahead of number 85. Then the two Mazdas. It's quite a shuffle round during that round of pit stops. Number 10 car, of course, bolted the lead because that had stopped just before. But the Mazda, particularly the car number 77, slipped back 3 or 4 positions during that round of the stop.
Down towards the hairpin. That's where the action area is on these opening laps after the intervention of a safety car. That's where you can get down the inside and outbreak some of the other categories, and that's exactly what's happening now with the GT Le Mans runners coming through the front of the GTD field. And at the moment, the leading Corvette in GTLM is going past Darren Turner for Heart of Racing Team. Darren staying out of the way and letting the Corvette, the BMW, and the Corvette, and now a Porsche as well, right there, as well as one of the prototypes. I think that's the 7 car that's coming back through. There as well. Good heavens, 3 classes in one place, and Darren Turner having to really keep his wits about him there as all of those different categories have found themselves again on the track. It's been a very good restart for Ryan Briscoe. Jeremy just pulled out a couple of seconds on Ryan Briscoe, and a moment or two ago on the back straight, Corvette and Porsche, as Earl Bamber had been leading and pushed the number 3 Corvette all the way to the right hand side, and then dived back down the inside going into turn 17 at Sunset, and then they got it back again. So Bamber still listed as the leader ahead of Farfus now and Jordan Taylor, but that's just changed again because the 3 Corvette has got ahead of Farfus in the red BMW as they go up towards turn three. What I can't see is where the Porsche is. Is he ahead of all those? Yes, he is. He's just coming out of Big Bend and heading down towards turn seven. So a big mix-up going on there. And looks like Vanto's right in there in the 912 as well with the red stripes down the flank. So restart. You can see, Jeremy, why people see yellows breed yellows, cautions breed cautions, because there's so much fighting going on in the opening laps. Opportunities to make up track position when you're so close together. It's like restarting a race, effectively.
Yeah, and the loser out of all that was the Corvette of Jordan Taylor. They got to kind of outbraked himself, I think, didn't he, at turn 17. Lost the place to the number 911 car that he just kind of gained as they were side by side on the straight, as they're squeezing each other there. So he's all of a sudden now down into the third position, and he's going to have Colton Herter, I think, for company pretty soon as well. So Jordan Taylor, uncharacteristic, I would say, slight mistake there.
Had been pushed all the way at the driver's right down the Ullman straight, and I wonder if there was a bit of dust or debris on the Michelins there that might have contributed to him just not being able to get the car turned in. Got to have absolutely everything right on point there. Hello to everybody on the Radio Show Limited Listeners Collective on Facebook. Already racking up the comments on there. Neil Charlesworth, Tom Firk, Logan Milam, and all. I am keeping an eye on that where I can on the 90 million screens that I've got in front of me. I'm only slightly... Oh, and a big off, and it's both of... This is turn 17, as there must be something on the circuit. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 cars, hardpoint Audi, both of the Lexus, the right Porsche, also coming into the pits there. Ollie Gavin dived into the pits. This has all happened at turn 17. Multiple cars involved now. Did they come together? We mentioned that they were all battling through there. Steam coming off the brakes of Ollie Gavin's Corvette and the bonnet, of course, but that is just the inspection panel now on the mid-engine C8R. And at least one of the Ian Vassar-Sullivan Lexus has severe damage. I think it's missing a wheel on the left rear of that car from the brief glimpse I got to it. And it's the 14 car that hasn't moved. T-Bell has got that car, the 12 car, into the pit lane. Disaster for Ian Vassar-Sullivan, who were leading the class, Jeremy.
Indeed so. They're running first and second at the restart with the Aston Martin in third place. Now Darren Turner will lead. Was there a problem? Was there some oil dropped potentially by the number three car? I don't know. But it's certainly very surprising that both the Lexus should go off at the same place. And it was the number 16 car was spun there. Of course, that was at the whole back of the pack as well in GTD. When they came across that incident at Sunset Bend.
It's been a big, big impact for the 14 in Vassar-Sullivan Lexus. It's moved the big bills of tyres. The safety team and the medical team already there. They're pointing to the left rear of the car. I'm not sure that has a wheel on the left rear of that car. It was a touch on the inside. No, there's got to be something down there. I thought it was a touch on the inside wall by the leading T-Bell car. And then his teammate went off in sympathy. There's some kind of fluid. T-Bell gets to the inside and then bounces the car around. Didn't hit the inside wall. I think the 14 is just trying to avoid it and pinches it and turns round. I'm not sure it was anything more than that, Jeremy.
Whatever it was bizarre. Yeah. Really strange because... Kirkwood was in second place there behind Tanzabelli. He was, 8-10 car lengths, a respectful distance behind him, and seemed to be through. And I'm sure he would have had to change his line through that corner as a result of Tanzabelli spinning. So that maybe just caught him off guard. And around that car went as well. But golly, how quickly things can change for that Ian Vassar-Sullivan team. They've had no luck at all in the last couple of races.
And the 12 car share, Adam, is not in the pit lane.
No, I heard it driving back to the garage just a few moments ago. There was a loud rumble, but that four Corvette was definitely the impetus of all
You're
of
right.
this contact because it was already slowing. and heading back to the garage area. The crew is working on the car. They're trying to diagnose what the problem is.
It's oil.
I'll let you know.
It's oil coming, or fluid coming out of the back of the number four car, and quite a significant amount as well. The mid-engined Corvette spewing some of its essential liquids out from underneath the back of that car, and that was what started it. So T-Bell turned in on, and it doesn't matter whether it's oil or water or a mixture of both, you were coming back to speed after being behind the safety car. They're working hard at it. So Jeremy, our first thought and your first observation, absolutely spot on. I thought with so many cars spinning that there had to be something on the circuit, but then it looked like it was an unforced error for T-Bell. I take that back immediately, Townsend. He clearly lost grip on the rear end of that car. And at that point, with the bump as well on the turning point to turn 17, that car, T-Bell, was an absolute passenger. And so what happened? I think even Ollie was sliding on his own fluids there, Jeremy. It was getting worse as he went down the back straight. And it's spraying over the camera of the 912 as they were behind. Oh, it's significant. Significant. I think it's coolant rather than oil because of the lighter nature, and it's a spray. But if that's getting onto the roof camera of the 912, you can only imagine how much is going out underneath the car. And of course, the diffuser there is throwing it up into the air and onto the track. It's leaking onto the track as well. That car is still in the pit lane. Could even be something like brake fluid or clutch fluid or something like that. They're working actually in that sort of area, Jeremy, at the front of the car, as if they're looking at a reservoir or something at the sharp end. My eyes aren't good enough to read what that piece of tape says underneath there. Shea Adam is watching intently as the Pratt & Miller Corvette Racing guys are going to work. But I think the 14 is out of the race. The number 12 car has severe radiator damage from its contact with the tyres. But that was as a result, not as a cause of what was happening, Shea?
Yeah, that's definitely what's going on there. And they will need to worry about the engine as well, because Townsend drove it back to the pit lane and then drove it back to the garage too. And if there was no water getting into the engine, then that's not going to be a good thing for that Lexus engine either. But a round of applause to Townsend. Jumps out of the car after he brought it back to the garage and then helps the mechanics push the car back into the garage, get the engine cover off. He's one of the ones who's trying to desperately make this car go again. That's not an effort that you always see from drivers who have just been involved in a wreck. Sometimes they throw their gloves and walk away. No, Townsend is right there trying to help.
Well, more drama here at Sebring. And the Ian Vassar Sullivan cars, remember, were first and second in class. Just whilst that was going on, we're compensating the DPI class split again. And during all of that, the 911 car in the little amount of green we had running, Earl Bamber, was warned for blocking. So that is something really to keep an eye on, because that will be looked at very carefully, and that will be, I presume, that will be car rather than driver.
Driver, I believe.
Okay. Thank you, Shea Adam, with that. Well, Jeremy, just when we thought we were going to get back into the rhythm of things, still over 9 hours to go, big drama there, which looked to have been the chain reaction set in motion by Ollie Gavin's number four Corvette. And not sure.
Excuse me, John. Yes, unlike either Townsend Bell or even Carl Kirkwood, who's, of course, not very experienced in these cars, but is a very experienced driver overall. Unlike them, either those two to make a mistake. And, you know, the cars, they were just far enough ahead of the other guys right behind that they were able to slow down a little bit or perhaps see the oil or, you know, had a little bit of warning because I think everybody else was a bit lucky that the two Lexus were probably 15-20 car lengths ahead of everybody else, so that gave them just a little bit of advance warning. Number 16 car by the way Ryan Hardwick was driving that car. He did spin kind of in avoidance as everybody else checked up in front of him. He's fine. The car's okay. No dramas there. But that's a heartbreaker for Aimé Vasseur-Sullivan. I mean, how quickly things can go wrong in this sometimes very cruel sport.
Just hearing that there may have been contact between the number four Corvette and one of the BMWs on the restart, which is where it may have sustained the damage on the restart. I can't confirm that at the moment. I'm speaking to our colleagues at Charlotte to see if we can get some definitive angles on that. And their replay skills are very impressive. So I've just passed that along. And thank you to those who are tweeting in. Hello to Gert Van Kamp, who's in the car but listening. And he said, I'm listening in the car for the whole trip and the 2 minutes I need to get out the car and into the office. Three cars are out of the race. Things change fast. Good. Thank you very much. I don't say where you are in the world, but thank you very much for tuning in here to IMSA Radio. Still the work going on in the pit lane. Well, actually, Shea Adam, nobody working on the four car at the moment, although Ollie Gavin is still installed.
Yeah, I can't actually see any mechanics touching the car. The mechanic at the front is holding the nose cone up, and there is a mechanic with a fire extinguisher bottle, but everyone else is on the wall or on the other side of the wall just looking on, trying to figure out what they can do to fix this car.
Sebastian Roetz confirming, said the four Corvette hit the 25 BMW, but it was such a light tap. I said I'd be surprised if that is what caused the leak. Cleanup continues down at turn 17, and what they'll be really wanting, Jeremy, to find out is how far that fluid, whatever it is, goes back down the track, because you just can't have that kind of inconsistency in the grip. You expect, if you do the right things, brake and turn in at the right place, you'll get the same result. And you can't have that inconsistency and uncertainty for these drivers.
You can't. And turn 17 is a pretty tricky corner going in there. In any case, it's not as bumpy going in as it is coming out, but it's still you're right on the edge through there. And it's very easy, if something isn't quite as normal, it's very easy to do exactly what Townsend Bell did there. So just really, really unfortunate for that team. They've just got themselves in position to be up at the front there, and now it's all gone wrong.
Jeremy Shaw and John Hindhoff in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. You're missing no action on the circuit at the moment. We are in our third full course yellow, and we've already had 11 and a half minutes for a multi-car accident. Fluid out of underneath from the number four car. We think after contact with the number 25 BMW on the lap after the restart, and that's getting worse down the Alec Ullman straight, spraying whatever fluid it was all over the 912 that was sitting in behind it. The first cars to come on it were the leaders in GT Daytona, both of the Aimé Vasseur-Sullivan Lexus RCF GT3s. Townsend Bell, the leader, spinning. Didn't get too far around the corner. Made contact with the left hand, well, the front of the car to driver's left, and the tyre restraining barriers. That's punctured a radiator there. He's managed to get that back to the paddock. Even worse for the car following, the number 14 car, Kyle Kirkwood, spinning completely around and going in at a much greater speed. That car has been trailered away. The 16 Wright Motorsport Porsche also having a rotation, but no contact made with that or anybody following. And that car has continued, albeit having dropped down the standings in GT Daytona. Ryan Hardwick, doing a good job to stay out of the wall, has dropped down to ninth position. And the Corvette, by the way, that started all of that off, the number four car, is still in the pit lane with Ollie Gavin aboard. Can't see us going green for a moment or two, Jeremy. There's still a bit of clean-up to do. Gives me an opportunity to do the traditional shout-out for all of our flag marshals, corner workers, recovery and intervention crews, as well as track services, and of course our medical crews, both in the EMR intervention vehicles and in the medical centre here at Sebring International Raceway. Add to that anybody who has come out to help, whether it's punching tickets, parking cars or selling programmes, thank you very much indeed for giving the most precious gift you can, the gift of your time, so that we can go racing, all of our volunteers and officials. Coming down to 9 hours remaining, we'll be going green shortly, I think, or maybe not. Let's do the rundown for you before we go back to green, as we're behind our third safety car here at the 68th annual Mobile 112's out as a Sebring. Ryan Briscoe leads for Cadillac and for Konica Minolta in the number 10 car, from Juan Montoya in second, the number 6 Acura Team Penske. Their team car, the number 7, with an intercooler problem earlier on, which has dropped that car some 11 laps back from the lead, at least when that happened. Tristan Fortier is aboard the third place number 5 Mustang Sampling Cadillac. Then it's JDC Miller Motorsport in the 85, Mazda the 55, that's Harry Tinknell. Mazda also in 6th, the 77. They're all line astern behind the safety car, of course. Felipe Nasr in the Whelen Engineering Cadillac in 7th position. LMP2 led by PR1 Matheson Motorsport. They didn't take the opportunity to pit in this safety car, did they? No, they didn't. They stayed out. And so they've now done 16 laps, but the bulk of that behind this safety car. Ahead of Kubis Murkowski in Interpol's number 51, John Ferrano for Tower by Starworks, the number 8, and the 38, Don Yount. That's your top four in LMP2. Earl Bamber leads in the 911 Porsche from Augusto Farpas, and Earl has had a warning for penalty, a potential penalty for blocking, should I say, a warning for blocking. Augusto Farfus in the 24 BMW in second, Jordan Taylor the 3 Corvette in third, 25 Colton Herter in fourth for BMW, and Lawrence Vanter in fifth, the number 4 car still in the pit lane from GT Daytona and Corvette Racing. Darren Turner leads GTD now after that schmozzle ahead of him from Jeff Westphal. So 23 Heart of Racing Aston from Jeff Westphal, Scuderia Corsa, the Ferrari number 63 from WeatherTech Racing. Then the 74 Lawson Aschenbach Riley Motorsports Mercedes-AMG GT3, the Wins car. Then Matt McMurray for Mayshank Racing, the 86 purple and black Acura. Then the 48 black and blue Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini Huracan, the 48. Then the Turner BMW, the 96 in 6th. Misha Goitberg for Heinricher and the Acura number 57. Then John Potter for the 44, and he has splashed as well during this, in the GRT Magnus Lamborghini. Ryan Hardwick in the teal blue number 16 Wright Motorsports Porsche, almost getting caught up in that, but not. And Rob Furriol in 10th in the Team Hardpoint Audi. The Grasser car, by the way, which I think did a half shaft, drive shaft early on when it burned out coming out of the pit, is still being worked on in the pit lane. No, it's not. It's come out. It's back on the. It's back in the race. Shea will get me the rundown on that and find out if we were right, wrong or indifferent. But it looked like it sheared something as it did the big burnout going out of the pit lane. Castroneves is still running. Now 10 laps off the lead, so they have made one lap back, and has got the fastest DPI lap of the race, by the way, that car. 147.970. That's how it stands with spot on 9 minutes to go at the 68th annual Mobil 1. 12 hours of Sebring and the next hour of racing gets underway next.